Indeed, He is a rock, and He is our shelter in times of storms. And what great comfort we should have as the people of God to know that with our Father in heaven, everything will be okay. Thank you so much for being here tonight as we continue on in our series of lessons talking about staying faithful in fearful times. I have truly enjoyed myself being here, getting to know you all so much, and I appreciate the hospitality of you all and the kind words and your attendance. So thank you very much for being here. We'll have this lesson tonight, and then Lord willing, we'll wrap up our series tomorrow night. So thank you again, and I hope and pray that you all had a great day today. Well, I want to begin by sharing a story, and I want to share with you a woman that I met that really changed my life. It's probably been about 6 or 7 years, and her name was Karen. At the time, I was preaching at the Down Road Church of Christ in Beaumont, Texas. That's southeast Texas, about 90 minutes from Houston. And it was right after services, and I can remember one of the preachers, Max Dawson, he was at the door greeting people, and there was a gentleman that was talking to him. I would find out that this gentleman, his mother was sick, and his mother was Karen. Karen had cancer. She was living in Beaumont. And her son wanted to see if we might be able to study the Word of God with her. And so me and some other brothers and sisters, in the process of time, we were eventually able to contact Karen. We had the opportunity to meet her and to see if she was interested in learning more about the Word of God. And she said yes. She had grown up in a church, in a denominational church, and she really did not have that much Bible knowledge, even though she had grown up going to worship services on a weekly basis. And so, in the process of time, we studied. And Karen didn't have that much time to live. She had tumors all over her body. But she still had her mind. And in the process of time, she decided to obey the gospel. And we picked her up that day, and being as brutally honest as I can be before you all, I didn't think she was going to follow through. Because at the building at Dowland Road, you guys have the baptistry right here and a few stairs. Add on about 10 or 15 or 20 more stairs, our baptistry was pretty high up. And Karen didn't have a lot of strength, having cancer and in the final moments of her life. And so what we had to do, we had a couple of people. It was me and another brother, Chris Emerson, was there, and a couple other sisters. My wife was there. We had to start off on the bottom of the stairs and sit Karen down. And I got behind her. And we had to pull her up one stair at a time. And it was funny because I had to, put my arms around her waist, and she looked back at me and she said, "I just want you to know there's no funny stuff going on, all right?" So yes, there's nothing funny going on. But we had to pull her up one step at a time. Pull her up another step at a time. And it took at least, it felt like 10, 15, 20 minutes. Maybe it didn't take that long, but it felt like forever. And then the sisters had to help her to get undressed and change her clothes. And we had a couple of guys in the baptistry to lower her down gently. The sisters could see the tumors in her body. And then we had to do it all over again. But she obeyed the gospel. And she was saved from her sins. And Karen did the very best that she could with the time that she had left. Sometimes she would come to services in pajamas. And we didn't say a word to her. How could we? Because truthfully, she was doing more than a lot of other members who weren't sick with cancer. She was doing her very best. And in a couple of months, she passed away. And I believe she's in the bosom of Abraham. That's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16. But I learned so much from that interaction with Karen. Number one, we don't give up on people. Number two, there's still time for individuals on this side of life to obey the truth. Number three, her son cared enough for his mom to reach out and ask for help. And that's how it often works with evangelism. I'm sure you have experienced this where you have talked to someone and maybe you have talked to someone over and over again, and yet when somebody else kind of comes into the scene, things begin to change. And sometimes that happens. We need that at times. And it has really encouraged me when it comes to reaching the lost. That when you think about reaching the lost is not rocket science. And I've said this before in different sermons, there may be a rocket scientist in the audience, I don't know. But rocket science is hard. And yet sometimes we view evangelism the same way. It's too hard for us to do. No, it's not. We put all of these barriers and we can have these negative mindsets. No one wants to listen to the gospel. Karen did. A lot of other people do as well. We have to be willing to give them an opportunity. If you have your Bible, open it up to John chapter 4. As you think about staying faithful in fearful times, one of the most important things we need to remember is that as the people of God, brothers and sisters, we have work to do. Do you believe that? We have work to do. In John chapter 4, when Jesus had this interaction with the Samaritan woman at the well, at Jacob's well, his disciples had gone away and now they had come back and they had this interaction with Jesus. And in verse number 30, the Bible says of John chapter 4, they went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did he?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 2 when he stayed at the temple for a period, I believe, of 3 days. And his mom and dad came back and they're worried about him. And he said, "I have to be about my Father's business." Well, so do we. We have work to do as well. So Jesus said in verse 35, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." This has been one of the most encouraging passages to me as well. And I think sometimes being a preacher, I've been preaching now for the past 11 years. And as a preacher, I think sometimes there's this mentality that the preacher has to do all of the evangelism. Well, how can one person do all of the evangelism? How can one person meet so many different people? Indeed, I am to preach the Word of God, and Nathan's going to preach the Word of God, and we're going to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. But when it comes to evangelism, did you see what Jesus said? One sows, and another reaps. So what does that mean? That all of us play a role. And so when we really buy into this idea that all of us play a role, all of us have a part to play. Do you really believe that you have a part to play in God's great work? You do. And it doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter where you may be at this moment in your life. We all play a very important role. Some of us will be sowers. Some of us will be reapers. Maybe some of us will do both. But we have to do something. As you think about living in fearful times, one of the easiest things to do is really to close up shop. Self-preservation. I have to get through this. And I think that happens kind of naturally, especially when we're going through difficult days, where we do have to focus and try to figure out how we're going to maybe get to the next step, or the next day, or the next week, or the next month. However, one of the most interesting responses in the Bible, in particular in the New Testament, when God's people were suffering, when they were in the middle of suffering, you know what they were still doing? They were still advancing the gospel. Will you look over in Acts chapter 8? In Acts chapter 8, and this is what we're going to be talking about tonight, this idea of advancing the gospel. One of the best things for us to do, even during fearful times, is to advance the gospel, is to talk about Jesus, is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And no doubt, the more we talk about Jesus, the more we share the gospel, the more certainly that is going to help us to stay faithful in these fearful times. Remember in Acts chapter 7, Stephen had died. He had been stoned to death. The persecution against God's people is slowly rising. Started with the apostles, with Peter and John. Then it moved on to the apostles in Acts chapter 5. More of them. Now we have a Christian dying. And now in Acts chapter 8, notice the response of the people. Look at verse 1. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, which is Paul, who we're going to be looking at. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. We've been quarantined, but we haven't been scattered. Scattered is very challenging, right? And so is the quarantine, by the way. It was earlier in the year. It was tough. And they were in a tough situation as well. They were scattered except for the apostles. They would remain in Jerusalem. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him, which would have put them at some kind of risk as well, because they are saying, we are associating with this man and we know who he is and we're mourning for him. And he had just been stoned because of his faith. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He put them in prison. Now, what would you do if you knew that was taking place? What did they do? Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Isn't that a weird response? You see someone you love, Stephen, stoned to death. You know some of your brothers and sisters in Christ are being dragged out of their homes. It can happen to you, and oh, by the way, now you're scattered, and you're unfamiliar with where you may be or the situations, and yet they're still preaching the Word of God. I think sometimes maybe one of the benefits of talking about the gospel, even in the midst of fearful times, is that it certainly will help us to remember who's ultimately in control. God. And it also, just as they gave other people hope, it will certainly give other people hope today. And that's why I say it's an unusual response to suffering. But what we see is that they are going to continue, God's people, those who are of the way, continue to advance the gospel. Continue to preach the word of God and Jesus Christ crucified. In fact, remember what Paul said. We're talking about Paul. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, as he wrote to the saints in Corinth, and we talked about this on Sunday, with the fact that the resurrection of Jesus took place, no one could cancel the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, and verse number 1, Paul said, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." If you want to describe their platform in the first century, we live in a world where we have all these different platforms, right? It's interesting, social media, this idea of platforms has only been around for about 20 years, and yet it feels like it's been around for the last century. Young people have their platform on TikTok and YouTube. Facebook isn't for young people, that's for the older folks, all right? That's for us, all right? But everybody seems to have a platform. They have political platforms. And these platforms are often designed to draw attention to ourselves or to some belief or to some cause. And some of them may be good. But the biggest platform that we need to be focusing and sharing with others is Jesus. The gospel. the resurrection of our Savior Jesus. It is of first importance. If we are going to advance anything, first and foremost, it should always be Christ and His will and His way. And Paul reminds us that this should be the mindset. And I use this language, advancing the gospel, because when you turn over to Philippians chapter 1, this is what Paul is going to talk about. And as you think about saying faithful and fearful times, if there's anyone who can show us that it is possible to do this, it is the Apostle Paul. That it's possible to remain faithful and even continue the work of God in difficult circumstances. Remember where Paul is when he's writing Philippians. He's in prison. You start off in verse number 7. He said, "For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart." He loved the brethren. "Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Now notice what he says next. "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." Number one, he uses this phrase, "What has happened to me?" That's from the ESV, I believe. I'm reading from the New American Standard. He said, "I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." What has happened to me? Paul understood this idea of circumstances. Bad circumstances. Negative circumstances. There were things that had happened to Paul. And things happen to him often. In fact, if you go back real quickly here, hold your place in Philippians, and go back to Acts chapter 9. Remember, after his conversion in Acts chapter 9, after he began proclaiming Jesus is the Christ in Acts chapter 9, after he associated with the disciples in verse number 19, and then in verse number 20, he's proclaiming Jesus in the synagogue, saying he is the Son of God. In verse 21 of Acts chapter 9, the Bible says, "All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, 'Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?' But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him." So much so that Paul, in verse 24, it says, "But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket." So talk about circumstances and the things that had happened to him. There are so many events that happened to Paul, not because he was living a life of sin, but because he was preaching the Word of God, because he was proclaiming Jesus Christ. Remember in Acts chapter 16, he's writing to the saints in Philippi. In Acts chapter 16, we see him in Philippi, Paul and Silas in prison in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we know that they were continuing to proclaim the Word of God. In verse number 19, Paul and Silas, they were dragged into the marketplace before the authorities. And eventually in verse number 23, the Bible says in Acts 16 and verse 23, "When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." If someone knew about circumstances, it would be the Apostle Paul. When you go back to Philippians chapter 4, he said already in Philippians chapter 1, the circumstances that he had endured. Now, when you go back to Philippians chapter 4, when you turn over there, he's going to talk about his circumstances again. In verse number 10 of Philippians chapter 4, Paul said this. He said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means and also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. So Paul didn't try to sugarcoat and say that his circumstances weren't bad. He made it very clear. I am being afflicted. I am going through some challenging times. And yet his mindset was, in any and every circumstance, I can still be content. I will still draw strength from God. And as you see back in chapter 1, Paul would make it very clear in Philippians chapter 1, that even though certain things had happened to him, his mind was still on the work of God. And the place that I'm going with all of this is that you and I will have circumstances, fearful times, frustrating times. We may feel like Job at times. Why is all this happening to me? But we're not the only ones who have gone through difficult days. The saints were scattered. Paul understood difficult circumstances. And he helps us to see something else. That even in the midst of difficult, fearful times, he's in prison, by the way, when he's writing this, there is something that we need to be thinking about. Despite all of this, he says that even with these circumstances, it actually served to advance the gospel. Look back in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 12. He said, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out," this is the New American, "for the greater progress of the gospel." So he didn't deny his circumstances. He didn't try to sugarcoat what was taking place in his life. He acknowledged, yes, I am being afflicted. But he also recognized something else, that even in the midst of difficult days, something good came from it. He said, listen, it's actually turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ, that's why he was imprisoned, has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. In other words, this has actually been a benefit, because now he has even more opportunity where he is to share the gospel with others. Don't you love that? He said, this is actually great, because even though I've been going through these difficult days, it's actually been a benefit for the cause of Christ. And that shows us where our minds need to be. It is not about us. It is all about Him. It's always been about Him. As we become Christians, our lives are to be transformed from the inside out. And our mindset, our attitude has to be, it is all about Him. And that was the mindset of Paul. He said, it's actually served out well for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment and the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Look at verse 14. And that most of the brethren trusted in the Lord because of my imprisonment. In other words, the other brethren who are seeing how he's responding in his situation are actually now drawing strength from him. The other brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. That is so encouraging, that you can have an impact upon your brother and sister, even how you handle yourself in the midst of your suffering. And I can do the same. And that there are people looking and seeing how we might respond, and how we respond, it really does make a difference. Paul was saying, listen, they're being encouraged. They have more courage now to share the word of God with others. Now they are trying to do more to advance the gospel themselves, even in the midst of these difficult days. He said, some to be sure are preaching Christ even from envy and strife. Not everybody had all the right intentions, but some also from goodwill. Some did. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. See, he didn't wait till chapter 4 to talk about rejoicing. He's saying, listen, even now, even those who are out to make to harm me even more, he said, look, in every circumstance I can rejoice because someone is being spoken about, someone is being talked about, and that is Christ. Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. That is the mindset that we must have. Paul was advancing the gospel, talking about Jesus. Even during these difficult days, good things were still taking place. And so as you think about 2020 and where we are, and 2020 has been a hard year. Let's just be real about it. It's been a frustrating year. Are you frustrated? Are you angry? If you're angry, definitely come back tomorrow night, all right? Even if you're not angry, come back tomorrow night because we're going to talk about dealing with anger. But in all seriousness, a lot of people are angry. Some may be angry at God. It's been a hard year. There's no promises about tomorrow or 2021. And yet, brothers and sisters, if there's ever been a year to advance the gospel, now is our time. If there's ever been a year to hold on tighter than ever before to your shield of faith, it is this year. If there's ever been a year to go back and consider the evidence of the empty tomb and the significance of the resurrection and what that means to you and me, now is that time. We have the time. Paul had time in prison. We have time more than ever. And if we don't get this wake-up call this year, I don't know if we're going to get it. Now is the time for you and for me to advance the gospel. How do we do it? Simple. Follow in the footsteps of Paul. His mind was focused on Christ. All throughout this book, his mind is focused on Jesus. Christ is proclaimed, I'm good. The gospel is being advanced, I'm good. Verse 21 of chapter 1, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. His life was consumed, it was hidden in Christ. And when our lives and our hearts are truly hidden in Christ, watch out. His attitude and mindset was all about following in the footsteps of Jesus in chapter 2 and verse number 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. See where his mind is? It's focused on Jesus. It's been a hard year. No one's going to deny that. My wife has had to have iron transfusion. She's had a surgery back in July. We've had other health issues. We've had challenges. I know some of you can relate. But there's still opportunity for us to do good. Opportunity for you and for me to have an impact to advance Jesus Christ and who He is to so many people. And that really forces us to ask a question. When you think about where we are, have you had difficult circumstances? Check, we know that we have. And yet, what we have is also an opportunity in these difficult days, just like the saints who were scattered. And so we have to ask the question, how are we advancing the gospel? It's not should we, how are we? We must fully believe with all of our heart that we have work to do. And not just work to do, but great work to do. Work that has eternal consequences. And it's not a one-man job. It's for all of us to do. And so with the time that we have left, I want you to consider a couple of thoughts here. Sometimes we do say, or we may feel this way, and it's always hard talking about evangelism. Because sometimes people leave here feeling guilty. See, I'm just not doing enough. I just never measure up. Well, I want you to know that all of us play a role. And there are simple ways for us to reach the lost and to continue to advance the gospel. And I want to share these with you. There are people like Karen who are waiting for you to talk to them. They're out there and they're waiting. And so there are simple ways for us to reach the lost and to advance the gospel. Number one, I want to suggest we all can pray. Colossians chapter 4, you turn over there in Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 3, actually start on verse number 2 and verse number 3, Paul said this. He said, devote yourselves to prayer, keep an alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well that God will open to us a door for the word. You hear that? Praying at the same time for us as well that God will open up to us a door for the word. You may not be able to get outside. You may not be able to drive. You may not have the same strength and energy that you had. But all of us, no matter where you may be, we can pray. And we can be very specific with our prayers, praying that a door of opportunity will open up. We can pray for those individuals that we know are outside of Jesus Christ and pray that we might be able to say something or do something or that someone else. And so when you think about advancing the gospel, we can all do this together, can't we? We can all pray that doors will be opened, as Paul talked about. He was constantly looking for ways to further the cause of Christ and to share with others the good news. Another simple thing that we all can do, it doesn't matter if you're young, it doesn't matter if you're vintage, as I like to call it, it doesn't matter what age you may be, all right? We can all shine our lights. We can do this. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, whether you're in school or taking school via Zoom or whatever the case may be, we can shine our lights. Whether you're on social media or going to Walmart or getting your hair done again at the hairstylist, whatever the case may be, there are opportunities for us to shine our lights. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. And there's something else that we all can do as well, being engaged in good works. And glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so as we let our light shine, again, it's not about us, but it's ultimately about putting the spotlight on who? God. Maybe one of the biggest ways we can shine our light at talking to some of us who are older is through our marriage, through our families. People will see a difference with how we treat our wives and how we treat our husbands and how committed we are to assembling with the saints and drawing a line in the sand of things that are not going to be compromised. Our speech, people will naturally see a difference. People will see a difference when we abstain from sexual immorality. That's what Christians were known for in the first century. They were in the first, second, third century, abstaining from sexual immorality. They were known for their charity and love for their brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we can do this as well. We can shine our lights. And this is another way for us to advance the gospel. We can speak to people and include God and Jesus in our conversations. I go back to Colossians chapter 4. And it's not just including God sometimes in our conversations, but it's also having a conversation with someone directly and setting something up maybe with someone. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 3, Paul said, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth, here it is, the mystery of Christ. For which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. All of us have this opportunity to do this. And this would include, I think, even being on social media, the things that we say or the things that we post, speaking about God and Christ and the Word of God. Or maybe even speaking about our Bible classes. Or what we're studying here. These are simple things that all of us can do to reach the lost and to advance the cause of Christ. In Acts chapter 18, when Paul was in Corinth, he had a vision by the Lord. The Lord said to him in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer." There's this idea of fear. Well, we got to be faithful in fearful times. And I know evangelism can be very frightening. What if we offend someone? What if we upset someone? Well, you know, brothers and sisters, there is something worse than upsetting someone. Someone being condemned to hell outside of Jesus Christ. God doesn't want anyone to perish. And certainly, our goal and aim should never be to offend people. But the Word of God is sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And it does force a response. It does prick the heart of men. But we need to give people this opportunity before it's too late. And Paul was encouraged by Jesus. He said, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent." There's something there for us. We need to be faithful in the work that we are called to do. Go on speaking and do not be silent. If we can speak about football and basketball and video games and essential oils and vacations and working out and all these other things, politics, did I mention politics? We can speak out about this. The news that so many watch, we need to turn off. And the news to share is right here. Good news. This is what we need to share. The good news of Jesus. And yes, there will be some times where we're afraid and fearful, but like Paul, we need to remember, do not be silent. Go on and speak. We need to shine. We need to pray. We need to speak. We need to invite. Paul talked about conducting himself in a manner that was worthy to outsiders in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. What a great opportunity we have. This is how we can advance the gospel as well. So I got a little nosy in your building. I started looking around a little bit. And I was so happy to see this. I think one of the most simple, powerful things to do is to keep five of these in your wallet or your purse. And make it your aim every month to get five of these cards out. And the good news is, when you hand out the card, you can put it all on Nathan, because his name is on the card. So it relieves you of all the stress. But in all seriousness, one of the most powerful things you can do is invite. Listen, we'd love for you to come and visit with us sometime. We'd love for you to come over to our house or go to Starbucks and sit down. Maybe we can have a study together. It doesn't always have to be for Sunday services. One of the most powerful things you can do is to give a card out. You never know what may happen. But we have these opportunities to speak and to invite. I remember I was working out at the gym in Beaumont, Texas, and there was a brother there, Brother Roger. And Roger was working out when I worked out at the gym, or when I do. I don't like to talk to a lot of people. That may seem like a little rude. I'm just being honest. Like, I have my earphones on, and I hope that kind of like forces people not to talk to me. But it didn't for him. And so he said, "Hey, there's this guy over here. I want you to talk to him and invite him to services." I was like, "Oh, man. What's the guy's name?" "I don't know." "Oh, man. So you want me to go talk to someone you don't even know his name?" So I went over there. This guy's really big. He's 6'8", and he's doing squats. Thinking, this may not work out good for me. And I look up at him, and I say, "My name is Benjamin Lee. I have a Bible study that may change your life. Do you want to hear it?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Really?" I mean, he didn't say it like that, but I was shocked. I said, "Wow. All right." So I never got to study with him. His name was Shannon. But, because I had to go out of town. Somebody else did at the congregation. And he obeyed the gospel. And a year later, his wife obeyed the gospel. So I'm not saying this to brag or anything like that, but what I'm saying is Roger had to push me to open my mouth. And then someone else came in to further the cause. And I know you have stories just like this as well. Maybe that's how you are here today. My point is, brothers and sisters, inviting people. And even when people come to the building, the way that we welcome them in this building can go a long way as well. But let us not be naive and think that people are just going to magically show up. That's not going to happen. We have to put some work into this. And it starts with you and it starts with me. But we can pray, we can shine, we can speak, we can invite, and we're going to have to study. Because we do have to open up the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to be reading and preparing ourselves for these Bible studies. And you know, the other thing that we're going to have to do, evangelism, it takes sacrifice. We're going to have to be available. We have to have the time to sit down. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35. And I appreciate your attention tonight. I get passionate talking about evangelism because it really is a big deal. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35, Jesus, in Matthew 9 and verse number 35, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. That took a lot of time, a lot of work, and that was his mission. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. Because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Don't ever think no one is interested in the gospel. That's false. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We need workers. We need to be available. We need to sacrifice our time. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. This is something we should be praying about and petitioning and finding a way to become more available. This has to become personal. And maybe the biggest, we have to care. Do we care? I know the answer is yes. But maybe another question is, do we care enough to take that extra step to overcome that fear, to spend a little bit more time in prayer and preparation? Jesus, did you notice what it said here? He saw the people. He felt what? Compassion. What is lacking in our world today is compassion. We live in these silos and we live privately and we let them deal with that problem over there. What people need more than ever is compassion. And we have the great physician who is waiting to show great mercy and grace. And when we show compassion by making ourselves available and praying and going the extra mile, it will go a long way. Paul could have been bitter in prison. He could have said, I'm just not going to talk to anybody here. He could have been frustrated with God. He could have just said, you know what, I've done enough. I've served my time. I'm just going to kind of do my own thing. But Paul said, listen, this is actually working out really well because it's given me another opportunity to advance the gospel. And I know I preached long tonight. I appreciate your attention. So let me close with two questions or two thoughts. All of us play a role in advancing the gospel. If you don't believe that, you need to go back and read John 4, 34 through 38. All of us, even young people, you play a role in advancing the gospel. To your friends, to your neighbors, all of us play a role. And as we think about this idea of advancing the gospel, the question for me and for you, will we do our part? Paul did his. Stephen did his. Barnabas did his. Silas did his. Priscilla did hers. Phoebe did her part. We all play a role, and we all have a part to play. Let's make sure that we advance the gospel. Let's make sure that we do our part. This is how we can remain faithful, even during these fearful times. Let's sing.